Fan on Demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network, a packed show once again this week right here on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network as Anthony Johnson, back with the UFC, will be joining us shortly. We'll also hear from Michael Chiesa and the latest from the whole Juliana Pena incident. If you haven't heard that, we'll get into it momentarily. We'll also hear from Sammy J. Stout, London, Ontario's finest, as he preps to take on KJ Nunes at the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale on April 16th in Quebec City. And we'll also hear from Dwayne Finley, who we heard from a few weeks ago regarding his MMA road trip 2014, The Fighting Life, live blogging all 4,000 miles. And we'll get the latest from him. And I think he's got some breaking news or some big information he's going to share with us a little later on. As you all know, if you follow me on Twitter, at Showdown Joe, I was in the beautiful tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, to cover UFC 169. Had a wonderful time, none better than hanging out with Matt Serra and Ray Longo at both their gyms, respectively, and those guys treated me like absolute gold. And top it all off, UFC 169, which, you know, many people are saying it wasn't the greatest card of all time. Let's just say that. A lot of decisions. It broke the record for UFC decisions, but it is what it is. Great fight by Henan Barão. Obviously, I considered, as you saw on UFC Central, an early stoppage, in my opinion. Was the fight going to continue in that way where Henan Barão was going to win and defend that bantamweight title against Uriah Faber? Yes. And that's where it was trending. But at the same time, you know, referee Herb Dean did ask Uriah Faber if he was okay. The thumbs up from Uriah, the California kid. But, you know, Herb Dean did step in the fight. And I tend to concur with what Dana White did say at the post-fight press conference that, you know, both guys sort of got screwed with that result. But it is what it is. Jose Aldo Jr., Henan Barão's teammate, against Ricardo Lamas. Spectacular performance by Jose Aldo Jr. And the one thing that I noticed, you may not have noticed it on and it could just be me. I mean, Ricardo Lamas in his camp will probably disagree with this. It's just my perception of what I saw, but Ricardo Lamas was absolutely amazed, was professional and very amped to get in that cage with Jose Aldo Jr. You could see it even when he was pacing back and forth as Jose Aldo Jr. was making his way to the octagon. I just got that sense that this guy's fired up. He's finally here. He's going to do it. But the minute that they engaged, it was a completely different Ricardo Lamas than I noticed throughout fight week and leading up to this big scrap, the biggest fight of his career. It just seemed like a different guy altogether. I got the sense that, oh man, this is real now. I'm fighting Jose Aldo Jr. But as you saw in that fifth round, he did a fantastic job trying to come back, and all the kudos in the world go to Ricardo Lamas. That kid's got a lot of heart. He's got a big, huge, and bright future. I don't think it'll be the last time we see him in any title fight with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But one of the cool things about UFC 169 sitting there cage side in the media row was a big smile on my face as Anthony Rumble Johnson was being escorted by some of the UFC staff to his seat ringside, and we knew something was up the moment I went over and said hi to him, asked him if he'd be on the radio show this week, and he joins us right now. Anthony, I cannot express to you the smile on my face when I was sitting in media row at UFC 169 and I saw you walking in front of me, and you knew exactly what was going through my mind. What was going through your mind at that time?
I was wondering what everybody else was wondering. You know what I mean? Like, everybody saw me and they automatically started assuming, you know, I was there because UFC had just signed me and stuff like that, but they hadn't yet. You know, so I was actually there to support my boy Abel and just, you know, just get my face out there a little bit more.
Let's talk about Abel for a second, man. My goodness, that guy came back from certain adversity, to say the least, and pulling off that victory. What was your? And he actually ran out of the cage and came and saw you and the boys, man. And that's crazy. So first things first, give us your thoughts on Abel's performance.
Abel did, you know, Abel was still green. He's still pretty new to the game, so he doesn't know a lot, but he trains hard, and obviously he fights hard, and he packs a mean punch. He did awesome, you know what I mean? It's things that he could work on, but who doesn't have things they can work on? But he won, and that's all that matters.
Well, and all that matters right now is that you got re-signed by the UFC, but it's been a long road since you last competed for the Ultimate Fighting Championship in January of 2012. Since you left, though, you went 6-0, incredible scraps in a variety of organizations from Titan Fighting Championships to World Series of Fighting. Talk about, you know, when you left the UFC, it was probably, I guess you could say, the worst part of your career to finally getting back there, that little space in between.
Oh, I needed that to happen to me with the UFC the first time. It just made me mature and more as a fighter and as a person. And it changed my life around, you know. So, I mean, the 2 years I've been out has been a blessing, because if it hadn't have happened, I'd probably be in a worse situation than what I was. So I'm thankful that it happened.
Now, this has to do a lot with, you know, being a professional mixed martial artist and the issues that you were having with weight. Is that part of it?
Yeah, that was the only issue that I had.
So when you look back now, do you regret going down to 170, or is it just, listen, it's a learning curve. It is what it is. I'm a 205 pounder now.
Yeah, it's just a learning thing. You know what I mean? I don't regret any of it. You know, it's just, I know I had to grow up some type of way, and that was the way I started growing up, like that, you know, with mixed martial arts. So I don't have any, you know, thing against UFC for doing that. They did what they had to do. It's a business. That's how they, you know, run their business. I should have held up my end and did what I was supposed to do.
Did you ever think you were going to get back to the UFC?
I knew eventually I would. I just didn't know when.
Well, I'm sure there's many fans out there, A, that are super glad that you're back, but B, you know it, I know it, there's going to be haters out there, and they're not going to stop. How do you deal with those guys or girls that, you know, always have something negative to say about Anthony Rumble Johnson?
Well, that's just a way of life. Anytime somebody's trying to be something successful or positive in life, you're always going to have some knucklehead that wants to bring up the past or say something stupid to you. And, you know, I just, you know, a lot of times people say stuff stupid to me, like on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. I'll just go right along with it. You know, somebody might say, you know, oh, you won't make weight, you're probably weighing it 217. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. And then they don't have anything else to say after that. You know what I mean? But I just go along with it. You know, if I sit back and argue with them, then that just gives them more power to talk trash to me. But, you know, to me, it's all funny, because I don't take anything that they say serious at all.
We're talking to Anthony Johnson right now. Make sure you follow Anthony online via Twitter at Anthony_Rumble. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. I go way back with Anthony, so people that were near me in the media row there saw the big smile on my face, and they couldn't figure out why, and I pointed, and they realized why. Anthony is finally back with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But I guess we can say that you're jumping right into the frying pan, I guess out of the fire into the frying pan. You're taking on Phil Davis, and that is a huge, huge, I guess compliment when you think about it, that UFC says, you know what, yeah, you're back, but you're jumping right into the mix here, taking on a guy like Phil Davis. What went through your mind when they offered you him?
Nothing. I was like, all right, let's do it. Nothing really went through my mind. I know my abilities and, you know, my strengths and weaknesses and stuff like that. I know who I am as a fighter. I know who I am as a person overall. So I didn't have any problem with fighting Phil. I don't have any problem with fighting any of the guys in the 205 weight class. So whenever they said Phil Davis, I was like, let's go. Let's do it. You know, it's what we do. It's what we signed up for.
How much of that is that, you know, you're training with the Black Zillions, you're training with so many good guys there, especially a guy like Rashad Evans, who's up there as well?
Excuse me?
You're still with the Black Zillions, am I correct?
Yeah.
So you're training with guys like Rashad Evans, you know, one of the top 205 pounders in the business right now. How much does that give you confidence to say, whatever, I'll take Phil Davis, I train with Rashad all the time?
Yeah, it gives me a ton of confidence. I think, you know, I found who I was over the course of the 2 years I've been out. So I finally got the hang of the system that we have with fighting, you know, Henry Hooft and, you know, wrestling and all that, you know. So everything just started, you know, getting put together real well, and, you know, training with Tyrone and Rashad and Vitor and Caesar and, you know, Thiago Silva, those guys, you know, even Michael Johnson and Eddie Alvarez, I trained with them too. Just training with all those guys, it just gives me confidence in myself and them alone, you know. So it's just an honor to be able to train with guys like that.
How much of a difference has Henry Hooft made to the team?
Oh, man, he turned everybody's life around, plain and simple.
Why is that?
First of all, he's a man, you know what I mean? He's a real man. He doesn't bend any corners. He doesn't tell you anything to be fake. He'll tell you how it is, and if you like it, cool, and if you don't, cool. But he sticks to his word. He trains you. He's more dedicated to training us almost than we're more dedicated to, you know, learning his technique. He pushes us to be better, you know what I mean? He really wants us to succeed, and that's all we can ask for, somebody like that, and to be in our corner. And everybody's calm whenever it comes down to Henry. You know, if something happens, everybody almost look to Henry like, hey, what do we do? What do you think is best? So Henry's just, he's just that guy that everybody looks up to.
We're about, if my math is correct, about 10, 11 weeks away from the fight on April 26th versus Phil Davis. So you're starting training camp right now, or are you going to wait a bit?
No, I'm starting it. It seems like I never stopped my camp because I took my week off. And after a week, I got back in the gym and started helping Rashad. And then I went to New Jersey, and I've been back in the gym this week. So all of my guys have fights, so we're all coming right back to the gym. We're taking however much time we need off and coming right back in here and helping each other out to keep racking up those W's. You know, I have a fight coming up. Thiago has his fight in March. Caesar has his fight in March. I'm fighting in April. You know, Rashad obviously is fighting like in 2 weeks or something like that. And then Vitor is right after me. So we're on a roll right now. So we're helping each other out. You know, we don't turn our back on each other. And Michael Johnson, he's back in the gym already. Like, it's crazy. Eddie has his fight coming on. Michael Chandler. So everybody's in there just busting ass. You know what I'm saying? And just trying to be better and keep winning.
What's it like to be in that room full of sharks like that?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. Sometimes I sit back and I actually look and I'm like, man, this room is pretty crazy. Even the guys that people don't know, is so much talent in this gym. And I'm glad I'm a part of it instead of, you know, being on another team and being against them. You know what I mean? Being against us. So it can get scary sometimes when we're in there sparring and wrestling and whatnot.
All right. Now, obviously, tons of video footage, of course, on Phil Davis. He's been around for a long time. Let me ask you two questions in one here. What is your scouting report on what to expect from Phil Davis, and what is your perfect fight in your return to the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Of course, my perfect fight is just go ahead and knock him out real quick. You know what I mean? Get that W. But as far as Phil Davis, I haven't looked at anything. I know he's a powerful guy. He might not be that fast, and I see a lot of people saying, you know, oh, Phil Davis is slow and he sucks or whatever, he's boring or whatnot. Dude's a fighter. Everybody doesn't have an exciting fighting style, but the man still wins, you know? So I'm not taking him, you know, for granted or anything like that. I still have to go out there and do my best and do what I do. Not really worried about what he does, but I'm not, you know, I'm not Boo Boo the Fool and just finna go in there and, like, try and see everything I can do and he catch me with something. Everything's going to be well calculated, I promise you that.
Well, my fingers are crossed that we'll be down there to cover that event. The only issue is that the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale is taking place about 10 days earlier in Quebec City, so hopefully the network sends me to both because I definitely want to be there for your return to the UFC. I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, brother.
There you have it, Anthony Rumble Johnson making his way back to the UFC. Looking forward to that scrap with Phil Davis, and we'll try to get Phil on in the coming weeks to get his thoughts on taking on Rumble. And of course, now, speaking of giving their thoughts, Dana White was pretty loud and clear during the media scrum at UFC 169 on Media Day about what happened to Juliana Pena, the Venezuelan vixen who was the Ultimate Fighter winner last season, actually, an injury at her gym. She reportedly suffered tears of her ACL, MCL, LCL, meniscus, and hamstring. That's going to have her out for 2 years. And when Dana got the news, he got the news from you know, Juliana herself, and he was not happy. He tweeted out the fact that, you know, bad news number one, she's out for 2 years, but hashtag leave that gym right now sort of thing. And you know, her camp and her gym kind of defended themselves, saying, wait a second, what's going on here? This ain't the case. And I remember when Dana was going off at the media scrum, and based on the tweet, the first thing that went through my mind is, this is bad. This is not good. Because Dana, you know, Dana is going to get emotional at times, but he's going to voice his thoughts. And when he did that, I thought to myself, this isn't good. I got to find out exactly what went down. So the first thing that went through my mind is to get a hold from someone from the gym before it exploded. And one of those guys was one another Ultimate Fighter winner from that gym, Michael Chiesa, who joins us now. Michael, obviously a lot of headlines coming out of the gym right now, but before we get to any of the stuff that, you know, Dana White recently said and Juliana Pena, I want to know, how are you doing these days?
You know, I'm doing good, just kind of on an injury layoff right now, you know, just toughing that out, but, you know, other than that, I'm doing good, coaching some high school wrestling like I do every year, and just kind of just getting by day by day.
A lot of guys say they love coaching because it actually makes them a better fighter because you've got to explain something that you then have to implement.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. And it's not only that, but, you know, when you're in a room full of really hungry athletes, young kids, you know, I was right in their position, you know, chasing state titles and wanting to win big matches. Now I get to be on the other side of the things, coaching them, helping them achieve their dreams. It really keeps you hungry, keeps you humble. And, yeah, it definitely does make you a better fighter because you're having to break things down, you know, in a different fashion. So, you know, it's beneficial for any fighter that has a wrestling background, for sure.
Now, the last time we saw you in the Octagon was against Colton Smith at the UFC Fight for the Troops 3 show in November. Now, there's no word on you coming back, and I'm hearing it's an injury. Am I correct?
Yeah. You know, I had an accident in wrestling practice. Just was drilling really hard, and it was really weird. I just landed on my elbow, like, straight on the mat, and my body went on top of it and it just popped my collarbone out. And I've heard of a lot of other guys that have had injuries occur the same way at wrestling practice. So, you know, it's been about almost 6 weeks since it happened. So, you know, I'm just in the thing that really bums me out is the day I heard it, I was like, you know, I'm going to make my run. I'm going to call Joe in about a week. I'm going to get something scheduled. I want to fight, you know, February or March. I had a couple guys that I had in mind, and now those guys are already booked, and I'm sitting on the shelf. But everything happens for a reason. So rehab is going good with it. It's been a process, but there's definitely some benefits from this whole situation.
Now, I don't think you're going to name any names, but I'm sure there is a couple of guys that I was thinking about. We had some conversations with my producers about who we'd like to see you face next. Now, in terms of when you call Joe Silva or whether it's Sean Shelby or not, do you ask for a top 10 opponent or do you wait for them to say, you know what, no, we're going to give you this guy, take the fight?
You know, that was kind of the situation I was in when I fought on the July card when I went against Masvidal. I was supposed to fight Raisin Vidotti. He fell out because he's a purse snatcher. No pun, you know, that's a fact. He's a purse snatcher, so he didn't get the opportunity to lose to me. But, you know, when he started calling out options, the toughest one of them was Masvidal, and I was like, yeah, that's what I want. You know, I want to fight these tough guys. In my opinion, Masvidal was top 15 at the time. He's always been kind of overlooked, and I've always been a fan of him. So it's a fight I definitely wanted. But, you know, that's just me being young, and I learned my lesson that fight that, you know, Joe's the matchmaker for a reason. So, you know, yeah, I want to fight the best in the world, but I'm going to let him do his job because, you know, sometimes pride can work against you. And, you know, I'm not saying if they called me to fight a champion tomorrow, it's just like I'd say no, but, you know, I'm not going to run around calling guys out. I'm going to let Joe do his job, and I'm just going to keep winning fights and work my way up.
Now, see, it's funny you mention that, and I'll tell you why. You're 26. Uriah Faber's turning 35, so his opportunities are a little bleaker when you think about, you know, hey, you want to fight Hayden Barão on short notice? He takes that. But a guy like yourself at 26 to take on a very high-end contender, a high-level contender, there's no fear in that thinking, man, this could be detrimental to my career, or is it an opportunity where you say, you know what, I win this. This is huge.
No, I mean, you know, going back to the Masvidal fight, you know, I learned a lot that fight, and speaking to you know, Joe Silva and Sean Shelby. I actually have a really good relationship with Sean. I enjoy having good arguments and conversations with him, but, you know, I earned a lot of street cred at that fight. I mean, Khabalov had a good fight against him, but it wasn't until round three that he spin kicked him. And I still don't feel like Khabalov beat him. I feel like Masvidal squeaked that one out. But, you know, the Masvidal fight proved that I can go out there and compete with anybody. I mean, nobody's done what I did to Masvidal, nobody's done that. I mean, I came out right out of the shoot, and I mean, I poured it all over that guy and really made him look bad, and that's hard to do. He's a seasoned vet. It's hard to make Masvidal look bad. He's just so composed. Fighting doesn't even faze him. So, yeah, I feel like I can compete with the best in the world. And on the same note, I still feel like I have a lot to learn. So I feel like becoming a champion is definitely in my future. I work hard for it. Anybody that knows me knows I work freaking harder than anybody, man. I really put myself through hell and high water when I'm doing these training camps. So my time will come sooner or later. I'm just not going to rush it like I was trying to do before. Like I said, man, I just learned a lot of lessons in that Masvidal fight. I'm going to let Joe Silva do his job and keep winning fights, and sooner or later I'll find myself in a title fight with 12 pounds of gold around my waist.
We're listening to the Maverick right now, Michael Chiesa, right here on UFC Central. Mike, you mentioned Sean Shelby before I get to my next question, but are you in the same boat as I am that no matter what I say to Sean Shelby, he's going to disagree with me and argue?
If Sean thought 2 + 2 = 5, he would never back down. It wouldn't matter how you prove it to him. Sean will go out on his shield in an argument, that's for sure.
Oh, it never ends with Sean Strelby. I love the guy to death, but my goodness, there are times when I'm having conversations with him. It is like, oh, okay, forget it. I'm walking away here.
I like arguing. I'm weird. Like, I love a good argument, and Sean is like, I will say something just to piss him off, just to like freaking get him fired up, so I can have a good argument, get it out of my system. So it's funny.
All right. Make sure you guys follow Michael Chiesa online at MikeMav22. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. All right, Mike, we talked a little bit about you. Before we get to the Juliana Pena situation, you mentioned lessons learned from the Jorge Masvidal fight. You then go on and fight Colton Smith, and a fantastic job coming back and pulling off that choke. Walk us through that and lessons learned from that victory.
Just staying composed. The one thing, my uncle's a sports psychologist for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and when there was a long bus ride from Nashville to Kentucky for the fight. It was a 90-minute drive. So I called my uncle because I was just kind of feeling some nerves, and he was like, you know what? The best I've ever seen you fight in your life was when you were just calm. He's like, when I watched you in Seattle, you were bounced all over the place. You were too fired up before the fight even started. So just keep yourself calm. Just know you always perform best when you're relaxed. Every hour, take 10 minutes to just sit by yourself and just relax until it's time to fight. And that's the lesson I learned in that fight, is stay calm. You know, there's no reason to get your nerves, you know, overgoing. You need to stay calm. You see things out better, you know. And that's like when Colton was on my back choking me before I saw the fight, everyone was like, man, that was tight. I'm like, dude, it didn't even feel tight. I don't know what you guys saw. And I went back and watched it, and I was like, holy crap, that was pretty tight. You know, he did have me strapped in pretty good when he was on my back choking me. But I think just staying calm is going to produce better victories. It's going to produce better bonuses, better finishes for the fans. So going forward now, it's just stay calm in these fights, because I know I'm going to perform better. And, you know, Colton's a tough guy. That was a tough fight. His record doesn't really validate how good of a fighter he is, but he's an Ultimate Fighter champion. And just learn to stay calm that fight.
Oh, I remember with the boys, when we were watching that fight, we thought to myself, is this really happening to Chiesa? He's going to get choked out. And the next thing you know, nope. So great recovery, and congrats from us here at UFC Central. In terms of what's happening now with the gym, the headlines since we were in New York and in New Jersey covering UFC 169 was the news that came out that Julia Pena did get injured at the gym. Dana White did go off, and the first thing a few of us thought that were sitting there as Dana was going off in the media scrum was, okay, hold on a second, like, well, I understand what Dana's doing. We understand that. But someone's got to talk to someone at the gym. Someone's got to get a hold of Juliana. Someone from the gym has to speak out. And since then, it's happened. What's your take on the situation with what happened with Juliana, and what do you know?
Well, you know, I think the one thing that she should have done different is don't call Dana when you're on your way to the hospital, because, you know, she's probably in shock, going crazy. Her knees hurt. She's bawling her eyes out. You know, when the story comes out that she's saying, oh, I got attacked by a guy that was talking crap about my Ultimate Fighter shirt. He assaulted me and all that crap. It's like, I know what happened. I talked to all four people that were in the gym that day and saw it happen. And actually heard the guy that she was training with came forward and talked about it. And I was going to stay out of the whole situation because, yes, it's my gym, it's my coach, he's my teammate, but it doesn't concern me. I'm not one to just, you know, launch myself in the mix with something like that. But when my training partner, Josh, got thrown under the bus, you know, I had to step forward because it just wasn't right. You know, I still don't feel like, you know, I'm not upset with anybody. I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. Dana has every right to be upset because he sees the potential that Julie has. She's a beautiful bantamweight that's tough as hell. She's marketable. She's in the top 10. She's destined to be a champion. I can see why he was freaking furious. You know, he has every right to be mad, but I'm upset that she didn't do the right thing and tell the story how it's supposed to be told. Don't you say those kinds of things to Dana. That's the reaction you're going to get. He's going to be fired up, you know? And I feel like that she needs to come forward to a bigger media outlet and say that she was wrong for saying those things, because granted, Josh has come forward. She still needs to bury the hatchet and say, hey, this is really what happened, coming from me, because everybody else came forward except for her. So that's just my whole take on it. It's really a shame. It's torn our team apart in a sense. You know, so going forward now, things are going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be spending some time training at some other places, since Rick's going to be, you know, Rick, our coach, he's down in California with her, and you know, he's going to be pretty involved with her until her knee gets better. So I'm probably going to have to go train somewhere else.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, this has divided a lot of the team. I mean, is she still part of the team? Is she no longer going to be part of the team?
No, I mean, Julie's always going to be part of the team. I mean, she's one of the top dogs, you know, between me, her, and Sam. We're the three UFC fighters, you know, we're kind of the blood pumpers as far as this team goes. You know, we got a lot of up and coming guys, but you know, I can't go into a training camp without a coach. So everybody, no one's going anywhere. We're all going to be a part of the same team no matter what, but just with everything that's happened, you know, I think it's best that I need to go somewhere once my shoulder heals, clear my head, go train. I have a great relationship with John Crouch at the lab.
Oh, wow. So, good stuff. Very good.
Yeah, I have my sights set on going down there. I've been there before. Great training camp. I'm going to go to Faber's too. Just, you know, since I've had to take so much time off because of my shoulder, I just need to get out of town, clear my head, go train, get better, become a better fighter, come home, go through a camp, and, you know, start my 2014 off right with a win.
Well, it's difficult for me to digest this information that you shared with us here, but I want to wish you and the whole team the best of luck. And when your next fight's announced, you can expect a text or a direct message from me via Twitter. We'll get you back on the show. Heal up, my friend.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. I just want to thank my sponsors real quick, Tap Out Serenity Insurance and FRM. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. There you have it. Michael Chiesa giving props to his sponsors. And, of course, the whole situation with Juliana Pena. It remains to be seen what will happen with that if Juliana does release a statement or does anything. I will try and get a hold of her to get her thoughts. But, you know, as it stands right now, a lot of damage to that gym and that camp. So hopefully things get rectified and we'll figure out what Dana White has to say about it eventually. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Canada's finest lightweight, Sammy J. Stout, as he preps to take on KJ Nunes. And we'll also hear from Dwayne Finley, his MMA road trip 2014. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Shodan Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Special thanks, as always, to 40 Sons for the anthem for UFC Central Radio. The song is called Hurricane. You can download it on iTunes as well as this show. Subscribe via iTunes. Just search UFC Central. You'll find it there. You can subscribe. Never miss a weekly broadcast. And, of course, you can also go to sportsnet.ca/590. There, all the shows are there. You can also subscribe via the RSS feeds. Now, last week, as we all know, while we were in New York, they announced the fact that the Ultimate Fighter Nations will be taking place on Wednesday, April 16th. They also announced a whole bunch of shows for Canada, and of course, everyone freaked out that they were not going to Calgary, they're not going to Winnipeg, they're not going to all these different, cities that they promised they'd go back to, or at least have new shows and new cities and stuff like that. We'll get to that another time, another day. You check my Ask the Insider columns every week I'm asked about Calgary, about Edmonton, about Winnipeg, about all these different cities, and I kind of give the same responses for each city because it is what it is, and until certain things change in various regions, the UFC won't go have a debut event or won't return. It is what it is, but slowly but surely, things will fall into place, and the UFC will go back to these events or go to these cities, whether it's a debut event, like I said, or whether it's a return to the likes of Calgary or Winnipeg. And you saw Dana White's interview with me last week. He still says he believes firmly that they promised the show to Calgary and they will return to Calgary, and the same thing to Winnipeg. He owes Calgary is the actual quote, but it's going to happen. So it is what it is. But the one thing I want to talk about is the fact that the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale, they're now calling it UFC Fight Night Bisping versus Canada. Because during the media scrum for UFC 169, Dana did mention that Michael Bisping has been cleared, and he'll take on Tim Kennedy in the main event. To us here in Canada, it's still the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale, although it's a stellar main event with the Count and, of course, the Marine and Tim Kennedy. Also competing on the show will be the two coaches from the Ultimate Fighter Nations, Patrick Cote and Kyle Noak, in a welterweight battle. It was also announced that Mark Bocek will take on Evan Dunham in a lightweight scrap, while bantamweight Sudbury's Finest, Mitch Gagnon, will take on Tim Gorman. Also there at that press conference was Sam Stout. He's taking on KJ Nunes, and Sammy joins us right now. Sam, well, it was finally announced your next fight, KJ Nunes. You're taking him on at the Ultimate Fighter Nations. But before we get to that, if we can go back to your last fight versus Cody McKenzie, any lessons learned from that fight?
Yeah, definitely. I think
one thing I took out of that camp is really, you know, do your homework and come up with the right game plan for your opponent. You know, don't go so, you know, I plan on doing the same thing in this next fight. But, you know, for Cody, I really watched a lot of tape and really was really analyzed it a little more than I maybe have in the past, and really came in prepared, and it really paid off. I knew exactly what he was going to do before he did it. You know, I felt like I was a step ahead of him the whole time.
So it's weird that you mentioned that, because I've had conversations with so many different guys, and you're starting to see almost a division in the middle where the guys will either say, you know what, I'm not watching any tape, I leave it up to my coaches, I'm going to worry about what I'm going to do, not going to worry about him, whereas other guys are like, no, I'm going to have to watch everything because I want to be prepared for what he does. Where do you stand in that line?
I definitely, you know, I used to have that mentality where it was all about, you know, my training and you know, just focusing on myself. But, you know, I've really come, and I, you know, and that was when I, you know, when I had Sean Tompkins doing the game planning for me, and I would just kind of do what he told me to. And I've definitely tried, you know, tried that aspect and that angle. And, you know, now without him, I think it's a little, I have to take a little more of a proactive role in coming up with the game plan myself. And, you know, I'm kind of playing the coach role and the fighter role, you know, doing it all myself. So, yeah, right at this point, I'm a pretty firm believer in the fact that coming up with the right game plan for your opponent is a pretty important thing in when it comes to winning or losing.
Like you said, some guys will analyze it. Some guys will overanalyze it. Some guys get too deep into it. Some guys say it's very methodical. What do you do? What do you and your team do to say, you know what, okay, we got KJ Nunes next. What's the steps here? Is it a situation where, A, you get all his fights, you break them down, B, you know that he gets stronger in the second round or slows down after this point? How do you break it all down?
You know, there's still a lot of homework to be done on KJ, and but, you know, at first glance, you know, what from what we've watched, it's, you know, he really sticks to his game, and which is, you know, primarily boxing. He likes to walk guys down. He's a hard puncher. So I got to be careful not to get sucked into his game, which, you know, which plays into my game, really. And it's something I've done in the past. You know, I like to stand in the pocket and bang with guys. But I think for this one, I need to, you know, get a step ahead of him. And there's some tricks that I want to implement in this one to, you know, to make sure that he's not getting into his rhythm and I'm you know, controlling the pace of the fight.
We're talking to Sam Stout. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter at Sammy J Stout. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. Sammy is getting ready to take on KJ Nunes at the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale on Wednesday, April 16th. You heard that correct, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday, April 16th in Quebec City. How cool is it to go back to Montreal? Oh, not Montreal, excuse me, to Quebec, the province of Quebec, and compete where, you know, you started your career?
Yeah, it's going to be great. I didn't even realize this up until I did that little press release with the UFC. But 15 out of my 30 pro fights have been in the province of Quebec. So, you know, it's going to be great going back there. I always love fighting in Quebec and Montreal and anywhere in French Canada. It's always a great time and, you know, great people, great fans there. And, yeah, Quebec City, I fought once there before and it's a beautiful city. It's like being in Europe when you go there. So, that'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully it's a little warmer than when we were there, last week, but yeah, it should be a really good time.
Well, I better correct myself before people, you know, start blasting me on Twitter. Sammy's career did not start in Quebec. It actually started, his first two fights were south of the border, but his fourth fight was against Yves Jabouin in Quebec City, and that was a TKO victory in the first round. Now, taking on a guy like KJ Nunes, obviously we're about, if I'm not mistaken, Sammy, we're about 9 weeks away or 10 weeks away. Camp has started. What do you do to prepare for this guy in terms of diet?
In terms of diet?
Yeah, because, you know, you got to get down to 155, right? And it's,
yeah,
cold,
you know,
up here, right? It's really cold. You can't really burn that weight off.
Yeah, I've been actually working with a new guy with my nutrition and diet and stuff like that. It's a guy named Callum Cowan from Burlington, and he's been really helping me out a lot. I've been, you know, helping me with not just, you know, had a bunch of nutrient levels tested and hormone levels tested. It's been, you know, really been a big help in my recovery time and, you know, burning off calories and getting my weight down. So, I feel pretty good about that. I had a great cut from my last fight and, you know, hopefully I'll stick to the same,
kind of blueprint that I followed last time, and hopefully it's just as easy this time.
And now on the technical side, what are you planning on doing, and where are you planning to do most of this training camp?
Well, I'm going to do the majority of it in at Adrenaline. Actually, right now we got Jeff Curran and Pat Curran and a couple of the guys from Chicago out training with us, so that's kind of nice. And I was thinking I might head out there, to get a little work in with them, and I'll probably go spend about 2 weeks in Vegas training with all the guys, John Gunderson and Mike Plyle and everybody at Syndicate. Again, I did that for my last camp, and it was, you know, worked out well. So, you know, I think I'll probably stick with the same formula.
Well, you mentioned Pat Curran over at Adrenaline. We got to hold the fort here for a second. If Horodesky or Hominick decides to get back in there with Pat Curran, can you record it and send it to me?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
I'd like to see Horodesky in there with him for sure.
Oh, it's been so. We've been getting some great rounds in. We had all those guys in from Chicago, and then also some of the Burlington guys, you know, Ricci and all the Parabellum guys. So it's been and you know, Rory and all them. So we really had a great day of sparring yesterday. There's probably, you know, 35 guys on the floor, and half of them were really high level professionals. So it was a pretty good day in the Adrenaline gym yesterday.
All right. I got two questions for you. The first one will be about the fight itself with KJ Nunes. Are you expecting the typical 15-minute battle with this guy?
He's tough to finish, you know. So, and you guys know I'm pretty tough to finish. So, I'll be prepared for that. I'm never hoping for these 15-minute fights. You know, if it were up to me, I'd finish everyone as quickly as possible. But it doesn't seem to work out that way. The guys in the UFC are pretty tough to stop. So, you know, I'll be preparing for a 15-minute war, but I'm going to do everything I can to finish the fight as quickly as possible.
And you got to let us know, what's the latest on Chris Horodesky, and how is Chad Laprise doing?
You know, Horodesky is getting ready for a fight in World Series in Vegas end of March. So he's looking good. He's training hard. And, you know, Chad's always training hard. The guy is reminds me of the way Hominick used to be. Just sometimes we have to tell him to stop training so much, or otherwise he's training three times a day and burning himself out. So Chad's always in shape. He's always ready to go. And he's just such a hungry, you know, hungry guy. He's in there working harder, outworking everybody in the gym. And I got very high hopes for that guy, and I think he's going to live up to all of them.
Well, I still have him picked to win the Ultimate Fighter Nation, so it remains to be seen if the Disciple can make it all the way to the finale. But at the same time, you just mentioned that Horodesky's fighting in Vegas, so you have confirmed that he's allowed back into the Sin City.
Yeah, he's allowed there. They lifted the ban on him, I think.
We're all joking, ladies and gentlemen. We all love Chris Horodesky, but you know, he's one of those guys that knows how to have a good time, and he's always been babysitting me for yours truly whenever I was in Vegas and he was there. So, Sammy, thank you very much for the time, and we definitely look forward to running into you in Quebec City for the Ultimate Fighter Nations versus KJ Nunes.
Excellent. Take care, Joe.
There you have it, Sammy J. Stout, as he gets prepped to take on KJ Nunes. It's going to be a great scrap, a battle of stand-up guys. And like Sammy said, there's a good chance that no one's going to get finished in this fight. This thing, it's trending to go 15 minutes. So I'm really looking forward to this, 15-minute, three-round battle. Although I wish, as a Canadian, Sammy wins. But I'll tell you one thing, KJ Nunes has always been one of my favorite interviews. You talk about a nice guy, just a super dude. And speaking of super dudes, we're now joined by Dwayne Finley to give us the latest and greatest from his MMA road trip 2014, an absolutely fantastic project. Dwayne, the last time we spoke with you, you were about to embark on this epic journey, the MMA road trip 2014. Just I'll open up the floor to you. You tell us how it all began and where you're at right now.
So we spoke right before I was getting ready to launch off on this, and I don't know if you followed the live blog, which actually I know you did because you were helping me tweet out the link and get let everybody know, but as you know, then I happened to leave on the worst day of recorded weather in 30 years. What should have been, you know, it's a 3-hour drive from Indianapolis to St. Louis. It took 11. You know, it took 11. We went in a 20-mile-per-hour pace. It was crazy. But we were too far, you know, too far to go. I was already committed to this, which made the second day, you know, I didn't have any extra time, so that we had to make the drive from St. Louis to Albuquerque, which was about, you know, 19 hours, give or take, you know, all in that one shot. So as it turned out, you know, we made the drive the second day all the way there, pulled into Albuquerque about 5 a.m. their time. I wasn't scheduled to be at Jackson's till 8. I thought I'd get a little shut-eye, but, you know, all the nervous energy from driving, I, you know, I couldn't quite shut the body down. So I ended up just rolling through, and, you know, great stuff at Jackson's, man. The and the Fighting Life pieces that are going to come out of it are going to be something that people have never really seen before, because they really just opened all the doors to me down there, carte blanche. You know, they, nothing to hide, and kind of got down to the gritty brass tacks of what it's like to, you know, the fighting spirit of Albuquerque and what goes on in that gym. From there, we moved on to Phoenix, did some great stuff in Phoenix with the boys at the lab, Benson, John Crouch, Efren Escudero. And then, we were going to cruise it on over to, Southern California, but then, one of the highlights of the trip, which, you know, Randy Couture opened up in Vegas, so we booked it to Vegas. Got some great stuff there all around, because you know that there's plenty of doors in the fighting world open in Las Vegas. And then we went from Las Vegas to an unfortunate event in Denver. Basically, our mutual friend Chuck Mendenhall, and writing mentor of mine had asked, you know, if I'd bring the rolling you know, caravan through Denver. He bought me a ticket to see the Broncos and Chargers, and I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. Mm-hmm. So we left Vegas at 2 a.m. to get to Mile High with some tailgating time. As it turns out, you know, we came through beautiful Utah, and it was clear and sunny. And then we hit the Rocky Mountains, and it wasn't so much clear and sunny. And then we got to Vail at the top of the Rocky Mountains, and it was just dreadful, awful. And then we started coming down. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, all I have to do is make it out of this mountain pass, and we're going to be fine. Because, you know, as soon as you come out of the mountain pass, you're in, you know, scenic Denver. And we actually had my navigator had an unfortunate bathroom stop, which in the Rockies, you know, it doesn't go, you know, like you get off on an exit, you can't get back on going the same way. You have to backtrack to go. So, you know, cost us a little bit of time, and we had, you know, put us back further in the storm. But to make a long story short about Denver, Joe, I had great seats for this playoff game, and I end up listening to the entire thing on radio 20 miles from the stadium.
Wow.
I never made it out of the pass because they shut the road down. But so we kicked it back to Albuquerque and left from there. We had some finish up work in Albuquerque, rolled out from there, hit Stillwater, Oklahoma for some OSU action. And then we decided to bypass St. Louis and went back to Indy, pit stop with the family for a couple of days, and then up for a week in Chicago. And week in Chicago was fantastic. But no secret, I'm a little burnt out. You know, when we kind of log the hours, the sleep, driving out, the awake hours for the seven days that I was actively moving around. It was about 118 to 26. I was awake 118 hours, 26. It was pretty crazy. But then, you know, I came home and had to go to Chicago to work a fight week and work in this road trip too. And and now I'm just about to kind of start bringing out the material. So the first leg of the trip, we're going to call it a said and done. We're going to call it over. But the second leg is set to kick off early April, and we're going to go southeast. So the things that I express on your show about the things that I hope to change and the attention that I wanted to get from, you know, the big companies, I got to tell you, man, Turner, while they weren't so excited about the trip at first, because they didn't quite understand the kind of beast that it was, once they saw the fighting community get behind it, and as you saw, Joel, you know, the fighters that weren't even involved were tweeting out the link, and people were just excited about it. I think the first night we went live on the live blog, we had, you know, 30,000 followers, you know, going on the live blog. So it became this fun, interactive thing where, you know, everybody got to share the experience. And then, you know, Turner kind of just saw the proof in the pudding, the first day without even having any real content, just kind of my mission statement up for the live blog. You know, I got the phone call saying, hey, you know, kid, we're behind you 100%. You know, whatever you need, just let us know. And, you know, to get the nod from a big company like that is great. And then, you know, some of the early stuff I put up off of this road trip has hit CNN. So, you know, I couldn't ask for more. It's been a career-changing experience for sure. And, you know, it wasn't just that. That's not just what I set out for me. Remember how I said I kind of want to, you know, I definitely want to change the way storytelling was done in this sport. And, you know, man, these guys were, Joe, you made a comment about, last time I was on your show, about all the off-record stuff that I would get. And man, next time we meet up, brother, beers are on me, and I got stories for days.
All right. Well, I definitely look forward to that. We got to wrap this up real quick. But you got something big going on now with CNN soon?
Yeah, man, I got a Dana White exclusive coming out. It's going to hit tonight and roll out on CNN tomorrow. Basically, Dana White, you know, he heard about the trip, the journey. He sat down, gave me as much time as I wanted. You know how rare that is. We sat down and talked straight for 35 minutes interview. So there's going to be a Fighting Life on Dana, and then a second piece that rolls out that's going to be kind of cutting room floor with all these great quotes. And, Joe, we didn't talk about fights. We didn't talk about fight cards. We talked about passion. And, man, his eyes lit up, and he was more than happy to give me all the time. So, yeah, that's coming out here tonight.
Beautiful. I really appreciate your time, man.
All right. Take care, Joe.
There you have it, Dwayne Finley. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter at Dwayne Finley MMA. Just Google MMA Road Trip 2014. It's up on Bleacher Report's site. It's a fantastic thing. We got to run here. I don't want to get any trouble. Special thanks to Dwayne, Anthony Rumble Johnson, Sammy J. Stout, and of course, Michael Chiesa for the latest on the whole situation with Juliana Pena. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.